far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we pick a fight with the third arc of Hokuto no Ken.
Talking in my regular voice because I've been getting over sore throat for the past week for spring break.
Oh, jeez. You have, like, the flu or something?
What?
Do you have, like, the flu or something, or is it just a sore throat?
I think it's just allergies. Like, apparently, like, there's, like, because pollen's finally been released into the air, and it's that time of the year.
Oh, yeah, totally. In my backyard, the tree is blooming, and there's, like, bees everywhere.
Like with this one, it's not regular like yellow pollen. I guess it's like some other trees like emit like invisible pollen or something, like maple trees. Because apparently people that are never affected by pollen are really affected this year, like people like me, because pollen has never affected me ever.
Yeah, the pollen used to really get me in Texas. I don't know what kind of tree it was, but there's some tree they have there that's not here in Arizona that would always get my allergies going. I think there's, like, different types of trees that give different types of pollen that different people are allergic to.
I guess that's one of the benefits of living in the desert, where there's nothing out there to make you sick except for, like, snakes.
Well, some people are sneezing. Like, my mom sneezes about the pollen from the backyard, but I guess because I grew up here, it doesn't get me as bad. Oh, speaking of growing up here, we wanted to talk about that that Barney song thing, right?
Yeah, I guess diving back into our childhood from, like, 20 years ago for me. I guess for our listeners, we were talking about songs to make fun of, like, Barney the PBS show back in the 90s. And, like, the song regarding, like, Barney's head being flushed down the toilet or something. I learned that song back in, like, 93, 94, and I was in second grade when I first heard it. So apparently the song has gotten around through time because, like, that's what a lot of kids knew. And I guess what happens is, like, kids – like, those kids teach, like, their younger brothers the song when they go into school. And, like, they'll go and spread – it's kind of like sort of like a virus. It'll be kind of spread around or, like, the word or something. And I guess when kids move to different areas and they'll teach that school and it just kind of spreads out because kids don't remember – like, won't forget that stuff.
Yeah, it's like what a meme is today, but it was like a song.
Yeah.
And, anyway, like, Barney I found the lyrics and it says, "Joy to the world, Barney is dead. We barbecued his head. Don't worry about the body. We flushed it down the potty and around it goes, and around it goes." Yeah. And it just goes on like that.
Yeah, that was the song that I heard. And then, like, the whole Batmobile lost its wheel. Like, I heard that in second grade, but I'm pretty sure that's an older song. I don't know, like, what generation it came from or how old it is, but I'm pretty sure like that's been around for a while. And then again, it's just like some kid heard it from his older brother or something, or his dad, and he like passed it around.
I think it goes Jingle Bells, Batman Smells, Robin Laid an Egg, the Batmobile Lost a Wheel, and the Joker Got Away. I don't know where it comes from, but yeah. That one's been around for a long time.
They made a parody of that in Robot Chicken. I think it was one of their Christmas specials where like Robin beats up like, a bunch of these kids for making that song up.
Oh, it says on Wikipedia that it's been around since the 1960s. And that Bart sang it on The Simpsons. So maybe that's how it caught on. And then it said the Joker sings it in Batman Animated also.
Yeah, so that's why jokes like that never die. So you put it in pop culture and then kids are like, hey, I found something cool that we can make fun of.
Yeah. People would always sing that here like when they're making fun of Christmas or like making fun of people who believed in Santa or something.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing that kids like bully each other for, you know?
Well, have you ever heard the Johnny Deeper joke?
I'm not sure. Could you tell it?
I learned this in third grade, I believe. And pretty much it's about a teacher having sex with a boy. It's a pedophile joke essentially.
Oh.
But the kid's name is Johnny Deeper, and apparently he gets called into the office or her office, and she basically is seducing him, and then it ends with like everybody walking and even the parents, and then everyone apparently like he's nailing his teacher or something, but everyone's calling him Deeper and like, you know, in shock, and he's like, and the punchline is, I can't go any deeper.
I don't think I would have gotten that as a kid because I didn't really understand.
I might have gotten. I think we all laughed at it, and I think maybe like a lot of us didn't understand it. I think I was just like, well, I know it relates to sex.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know like exactly but I know it's a sexual gesture. I think that's all I got from it. So.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I thought sex was like kind of a rumor. You know, like I heard of it like once or twice, but I didn't really understand. You know, kids have like a weird understanding of that kind of thing.
I remember some kid in fourth grade said like babies are born from women's belly buttons or something, and like you steer able to stick your penis in. He's like, yeah, man, it's not that hard, duh. Yeah. I don't know where he got that from.
Wow, they must have had a real innie belly button for him to believe that.
I don't know how he got that in his head, but that's what I heard in fourth grade. I'm like, I don't think that sounds right, and I just kind of blew it off. And then we had sex ed class in like fifth grade. And
have you heard the story about how Jovita / Duelist Goku like took off his pants in the middle of class one time?
No, tell me the story.
Well, it's from the log about him and his sister. I don't know if you've heard that one. But
I know something between him and his sister.
Yeah. But at the start of it, he was talking about how he just whipped out his penis in the middle of class one time. He didn't say why. He just did it, and everybody was like staring at him.
Well, is this like in high school or something?
I think he said it was like fourth grade or something.
Fourth grade? How dumb is this guy?
Oh, Jovita? Pretty dumb, yeah.
I know he was like an Eagle Scout or something.
Oh, that's right. He had like 1,000 badges.
Yeah. You talk about getting a new badge, and then obviously like photos from like on his MySpace or Facebook about him getting stuff. And
yeah,
he
had like 1,000 photos on Facebook. We're talking about Jovita.
Ah, fuck.
Yeah, he goes to or he went to the school that Shark goes to in Connecticut.
Oh God, I wonder if they know each other.
Yeah, I mentioned it to Shark after I found out he was going to that school, and he was like shocked. So I don't think they do.
Ah.
That'd I wonder if it's, I remember him telling me, like, when he worked at Walmart, like, he was trying to hook up with some girl there just so he can take her to the prom.
Oh.
And this girl might have been, like, college age or something. I remember him telling me that, and he'd show me pictures. He's like, yeah, man, I'm going to ask her out. I'm like, dude, good luck with that.
Remember when T.Y. did that shit with his coworker? Were you around for that?
Apparently not. Tell me some more.
Well, he worked at the grocery store, and he was like, I'm going to ask out this girl at the grocery store that I work with because she's so cute and we talked and blah, blah, blah. And he was going on about it for a few weeks. And then eventually he claimed that he asked her out and she turned him down. But then a few weeks later he said, yeah, I didn't actually ask her out. I didn't have the courage. I just claimed that I asked her out to you guys. One of TY's many lies.
What a pussy.
And then there was also the time when he made up this story about him playing golf or something when he really played baseball or something, and he kept telling stories about playing golf for like several months, and then after all that he was like, well, actually I played a different sport.
Does he just lie for the sake of lying?
Yeah, he did this one time where he just logged on and said, oh, I just had sex and it was so great, and then about 10 minutes later when no one believed him, he was like, okay, I was lying.
Like, there's no purpose to lying. It's not like he's got to hide something because we don't know anything about him.
I wouldn't be surprised if – you know how he keeps talking about weed lately? I wouldn't be surprised if that was all lies too, because he claimed that one time before too. But now he's run with it for longer. You never know with him though. I mean,
yeah.
And then there was the time when he claimed to live in like a different part of Georgia for several months too. Like, he claimed he lived in Atlanta when he really lived in the middle of nowhere, and then he admitted this a few months later because Viku and I were just talking like right in front of him, like, do you believe what TY is saying, or you know, and he was like taking offense, and so he decided he was going to get all the lies off his back, but I'm sure he's lied since then too.
I think I was supposed to, like, I think I threatened to beat his ass in, like, a Columbia Mall or something a year ago.
Yeah, that's right.
And because he's just like, oh, come on, meet me up. I'm right. I'll meet you at the mall at this time or something. And I'm like, dude, you're not even going to be there. And neither am I. So, and he's like, I'll find you. And I'm like, okay, go ahead. And that never happened.
He said he was going to, like, run you down with one of those model cars in the mall or something, I think.
Dude, I don't even remember.
Yeah.
It's such a pointless argument.
I like how much Andy hated TY after knowing him for like 20 seconds.
Yeah, that was worth it, and I wish we got that recorded, but oh well.
It is totally merited, his hatred for TY.
I take it we're recording, so...
Yeah, we are.
Why wouldn't we be? Okay. Well, we haven't done a Fist of the North Star episode since, like, October with our last podcast. So keeping up with tradition about covering a Fist of the North Star arc on a different podcast,
we're going to talk about the first arc, was that on Cool Kids Club?
Yes. I didn't really say it was the first arc. Did we only cover, like, whatever I had in my first DVD collection, which was, like, up to episode 36?
That's right, so
that,
yeah.
I covered up the first and, like, some of the second arc.
Yeah, we made it as far as episodes were dubbed, I believe, and then we stopped.
Yeah, it was like pretty much at the point where they had to go rescue Toki.
Yeah,
From Cassandria, and then on our last one we covered up to right. Okay, yeah, it was right at the battle of when Ken fought Rao. No, it's right when Rei was fighting Yuta. That's what ended the second arc.
Yeah, we had covered Rei's death.
Yeah.
Which arc is the third arc? Is that the one with the Celestial Emperor, or is that later?
The third arc is with Souther and his giant pyramid being built by kids.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then also the battle between Toki and Rao, since they're brothers.
Okay, but it doesn't go all the way to Kishiro versus Rao, does it?
No, that's in the fourth arc when he fights him the second time. Which I am about to start probably by this weekend because I'm just going through the recap episodes of my DVD set.
Who came up with these arc like categorizations? Like, is it official or is it just some fan made?
No, it's in the anime. It's in the story. It'll be like the fourth chapter or something. It doesn't say arc, but it's like the fourth chapter or it's something to basically people say it's an arc.
Oh, I see.
So yeah, like the third arc actually ends when in the manga, they talked about Ryuga, right? The guy that was able to, like, cut people's flesh off and they turn to ice or they can't feel any part of their body.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, that's... Yeah, Ken fights him at the very end of the third arc. And that's how that ends. And then, like, in the anime, they do a bunch of recaps up to that point, and then the fourth arc is going to start.
Okay. You haven't read the manga, right?
I haven't read very much of it, just, like, the very beginning.
Okay. Just to let the listeners in on this, what happened is Josh and Dustin have been watching the anime of Fist of the North Star, and I've been reading the manga, which I finished a few months ago. So,
okay,
it's very fast-paced to read because it's a lot of fighting, and you know, it's just quick to read through.
Yeah, I know you're going off of memory because I can pretty much remember most of the third arc. So pretty much it starts out with Ken's able to go. I believe what happens is like Ken's able to find one of his old apparently before the war when Kenshiro was coming up as a student, Souther, since he was a South Star general, and Rao would like kind of talk back and forth and chill out at the dojo, and I think there was something that was going to happen between like where I think Souther was going to fight Kenshiro because Rao was just like always not strong enough. And then Shu butts in, but then Shu does a sacrifice where he actually blinds himself by, like, cutting his own eyes.
Yeah, that's one of those weird moments in Fist of the North Star where they feel, compelled to do something totally bizarre for honor.
Yeah. But apparently that spares Kenshiro's life. And, I don't know how, but apparently, like, Ken is able to meet up Shu eventually, and then like after a couple episodes, like Ken's able to piece together who this guy is, and he's like, "Oh, this guy saved my life," and like that's when Ken was helping like Shu and his villagers, and like Shu had a son, and I guess had a wife at the same time. But then also in the beginning of this, Rao is recovering from his wounds, and he's holed up in a cave, and apparently he has to go and fight this other master that had his fist sealed. From the original master, which he finds up in the cave, and I can't remember the guy's name. But he does fight him in the cave and beats him. And then I remember Rao coming out of the cave, and like the two of the guy's apprentices, like they basically like cause a landslide over the cave and like collapse Rao. And I'm like, oh my god! I'm like, I know that didn't kill Rao, but that is very convincing. And then like nothing happens. Like, do they really kill Rao? And then Rao just erupts out of the rubble. And then he looks at the brothers because he's about to fight them, and then he asks them, like, are they brothers? And they're like, yeah. And he's like, you guys shouldn't be fighting each other. And he lets them live. Rao, and then he gets on his horse and rides off.
Rao is too badass to be killed by some rocks. You know? He's got to be killed by one of his brothers, you know?
If you hear dead silence, that's just me trying to, like, I'm muting my mic, so I'm coughing. So, because I don't want to cough in the mic and have to go back and kind of edit it.
Yeah, that would probably sound bad.
Like, yeah, I don't.
Screaming.
I don't want to hear. I don't want to verbally infect my listeners with the cold that I've got. I don't know if they actually would get sick off of this podcast. That'll be amazing, though.
They'll get an internet virus from you.
But it somehow infiltrates the flesh.
Yeah.
So pretty much what happens next is, again, off memory. I think Shu's son gets captured by Souther, and Souther, yeah. And I think there's a translation between like Souther or Souther, but I guess it's actually Souther.
There's some weird mistranslations. I wonder if some guy had dyslexia or something, and that's why he typed Souther.
Could be.
There's also the Julia versus Yuria thing. I don't know which of those is correct.
Yeah, I think what was it when with the, I think it's Harry Winkler, the guy who did like the Guy King dubs or whatever. Like apparently he worked with Fist of the North Star, and like they have the characters' names on his website, but it's like instead of Rao, it's like Raoul.
What?
So it's like R A U L. Yeah, that's how they spelt it.
So this is the like official English way to spell it.
That's that guy's official way to spell it.
But was it spelled differently? And for example, when didn't Raijin release some of the manga here?
Yeah, they did. I've got the first colored manga, which covers like right up to the battle with Shin.
I read some of the online manga that I read. Is that and some isn't? It's kind of erratic. but I don't remember which names they used in there. Do you?
I'm not really too sure on the names.
Yeah. The manga always tends to have kind of like more literal translations of names. Like in the Dragon Ball manga, for example, it's Kuririn instead of Krillin. And lunch instead of launch and stuff like that.
Let's go out to lunch. Lunch.
Yeah. I wonder if that was like too much of an obvious pun for Funimation. They just had to change it. I don't know.
Just say launch. I don't know. So pretty much like Shu's son gets captured. And I know Ken breaks into the fortress or Souther's fortress to rescue him. But then also like he goes to fight Souther, and he's not able to defeat Souther because of apparently he's hitting all the pressure points where Ken thinks they're supposed to be, but that's not necessarily the case. And Souther's like, you know, unless you know my mystery, my secret to why you can't defeat me, then you never will. And I think there's like a diversion on Shu's son part, or Shu's son. And he's able to get Ken out of there. But then, of course, like they're in the desert part, and I remember this scene specifically. But Shu's son sacrifices himself by like having a stick of dynamite and taking out like 10 guys with him. And then Ken's like, "What the fuck?" And I was just like, "Oh my god!"
There's some crazy sacrifices in this show like that.
Yeah, there's never a short of them. Pause the recording real quick. I got to sneeze. I could have saved this until like next week, but I'm going to Nashicon next weekend. But I was just kind of bored, and I figured we might as well get this out of the way.
You can't tell that much.
Okay, that's good. Like, even how I'm talking, I know I'm talking like in a lower tone, I guess, because that's kind of how I talk when I'm sick, but I don't think it's too much of a difference.
Yeah, I mean, the voices are already changed by, like, the Skype, you know? I mean, it's like talking to someone on a phone. It sounds different than talking to them in person, so...
That is true, yeah.
You can only tell so much.
Yeah. To continue, Ken... or Shu's able to rescue him, and they have, like, this little underground cave or whatever. And Shin's able to hide Ken under there and be able to bandage him up. And, of course, it's up to Shu to hold off Souther's forces as they're trying to get into the cave. And I do believe that's Shu fights Souther and, of course, loses badly. And so then it's up to Ken to be able to recuperate, which he does, like, within a day or so. And, of course, at this time – and then, of course, Ken's going to go back and try to rescue Shu. But at the same time, Rao shows up. But then Rao is able to just kind of be as an advisor to this whole thing. Because even, like, him and Toki are talking to each other. And, like, they're both not intervening at all because, like, hey, this is Ken's fight. Which I kind of found pretty interesting. And I don't know if, like, Ken... I think Ken knew Rao was there, but they were just, like, kind of, like, on this neutral term. Like, I can't fight you just yet.
Yeah, I think that Ken wanted to wait before fighting Rao.
Yeah, because Rao wasn't at 100% at that time. excuse me. But, Souther has a plan. Like, he actually... What's interesting is that Souther is able to... I guess we should explain the purpose of the giant pyramid. Is the fact that Souther made it to honor his master, which he was the master that he actually killed.
The pyramid thing reminds me of what I was saying earlier in the chat, that... Someday people are going to remember Barney like they remember the pyramids now.
Yeah.
Archaeology teacher told me that or something.
Then I mentioned, like, I wonder if they're going to have, like, that Barney song we mentioned, and it's, like a cave drawing of, like, a bunch of kids verbally abusing, like, the Barney fans or something.
I love that.
Did you hear this? Did you see the story that I wrote in there regarding, like, how when I was in second grade, like, my grandmother got me a Barney shirt. And I wore it out there, but I had I had a sweatshirt on the whole day. And, you know, in Texas, like, you know, it says winter, but you really can't wear a sweatshirt outside during winter. And it got a little too hot, so I took it off for, like, a moment. And one of the kids saw me, and then, like, all of a sudden, like, 10 of them were just surrounding me, just laughing at me because I had a Barney shirt on.
Wait, what part of Texas did you live in?
It was north of Dallas. It was Carrollton.
Oh, Because where I lived in Texas, it actually snowed a few times. It was pretty cold in the winter, at least compared to Arizona. But I think those may have been, like, freak years, you know? Like, it didn't usually snow.
Yeah, Texas is kind of weird like that, but at least northern Texas. But, like, we had ice that year, I remember.
Yeah, the weather there is not consistent at all.
Yeah. But at least, like, you know, northern Texas, you get more of a winter than, like, southern Texas, which is where, like, my relatives live.
Yeah, it can get pretty cold in North Texas, I think.
Yeah. No, yeah, but there was a story, like, this one girl that was standing up for me, and, like, you know, I never really thanked her because it was a girl I didn't really like.
Yeah.
And none of the other guys didn't like her either.
Why did everyone hate her?
I commend her for standing up to me. I mean, I do give her that, and she did the right thing. I just, you know, I was 8, and I didn't like her that much.
What was it, just, like, a general, like, boys versus girls kind of thing that you didn't like her because of, or?
I think, yeah, I was with some... I was with some kids that were kind of douchebags. I remember this, like, these brothers. The last names were the McCoys, which I'm pretty sure was – no, I think it might have been McCoy, which is a very Texas name. I went to a school called, like, McCoy Elementary. It was mixed something. It was a very Texas name. But one of the brothers was in another class, and he might have been a grade older than the younger brother, which I was in class with. And the older brother was actually pretty cool because I would, like, at recess, I played with him a few times and he was really nice to me. But his younger brother, which I usually hung around with because I had, you know, I'm 8 and I had no self-esteem. But, you know, I think he seemed to kind of tolerate me a lot, but they're just kind of really – he was just kind of really mean. I don't know. That's just kids. That was a long time ago.
I remember there was some kid that I, like, lent my Scyther holographic Pokemon card to or something, and he, like, bent it. And I, like, hated that kid because of that. You know, kids have, like, they hold grudges over, like, really petty things like that.
Yeah, it didn't really take until, like, when I was about 25 till I finally got over that kid. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm joking. It was, like, I thought of that kid and I didn't like him for a couple years after that. But, like, once again, the middle school or high school, you're just, like, you think about stuff like that and you're like, man, that I don't really care anymore. That was so long ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta let go of some stuff, you know?
Yeah, I wish kids on the internet could take a hint. I think we could have some of these debates cleaned up pretty quickly instead of just fighting over stupid crap because no one's going to care in like 3 or 4 years anyways.
Yeah.
But I guess back on topic. So yeah, anyways, there was this Okay, so, yeah, Souther makes this huge pyramid to honor his master, which his master is actually buried inside the pyramid. Because, like, I don't know how long he's had his master's corpse, but, like, he killed his master when he was, like, a kid. And apparently he's had it for, like, 20-some years, I guess. I don't know, but it might have been, like, a gravesite. He just built the pyramid around it. Or I think he pointed right at the coffin that was like pretty much standing out right on the outside, and he was pointing right at it, to like where his master was at. And so, anyways, he pretty much makes Shu. So I think someone's trying to call. Oh, it's Jeff contacting me.
Does he want to talk about Fist?
He says, put out. He made another Daily Anime podcast episode. Let me see if he wants to get on.
Okay.
Hey, we're talking about Fist of. Gosh. The North Star. You want to join? ?
Hey, should I post the like links to the Johnny Deeper thing and. The Barney thing in here so that we
Wait,
have...
did you actually find that Johnny Deeper joke?
Yeah, it's online, just like the Barney lyrics are.
Wow, never thought about Googling that Johnny Deeper joke.
We could, like, include it in show notes or something.
Yeah, that should definitely be included with the show notes. Because, like, I remember hearing that stuff, I would never think someone actually put it on the internet. I thought it, like, died out or something.
No, people are, like, hella nostalgic for the 90s, you know? That's why Toonami came back, and that's why Cartoon Planet came back and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I can't wait for Almost Naked Animals to air on Cartoon Planet.
Oh, yeah, and Screwy Swirl, too.
Yes.
Is that going to be airing soon?
Yeah, they've, like, ruined the block. Like, starting next week, they're airing Screwy Squirrel, which is some show that's still running on Cartoon Network. And the week after that, they're going to start airing Almost Naked Animals, which already airs on Boomerang, even though it's not an old show at all. They've kind of missed the point of the block, you know, if they're airing old stuff that's not old, you know.
I don't even really watch that block much unless I happen to be home at that time.
Yeah. Well, they did still have some old shows tonight. Like, they had Courage and Powerpuff Girls and Ed, Edd n Eddy. But
I think part of the issue with the block now is now they've uploaded all those shows onto Netflix. So it's like,
I guess there's really no point. Yeah, because then anybody can see it.
Yeah. I still like to watch just... It's just nice to have those shows like airing on an actual.
It's nice to use your cable TV station for once.
Yeah, that's right.
It's nice to use your TV for actual television watching.
Yeah, and instead of just going like digital on demand with everything, it's nice that there's still some things like Toonami and Cartoon Planet that are still around. What did Jeff say? Did he respond?
He hasn't responded yet, but I'll continue talking. Sal that puts Shu to work by basically adding in the top part of the pyramid onto the very top, and pretty much like he beats up Shu so much that he's like it's hard for him to walk, and he's like in really bad shape. But it's still like Shu's able to walk this huge like stone pyramid peak up 60 stories or something, however big this pyramid is. Only in the end for well, they start, because like Ken, I think, goes up to try to save him, and then, then Souther throws a spear that's able to impale Shu, and then the boulder crashes down on Shu at the very top. And then the battle with Kenshiro and Souther start. And apparently, Ken was able to figure out what was up with he was able to figure out Souther's secret, which Souther's secret is the fact that his pressure points are reversed in the body. So, like, on his back, his pressure points would be what would be on everyone else's front of the body and vice versa. So then Ken's actually able to defeat him by hitting on the pressure points on someone's back, which was on his front, and his heart's in a different area, too. Because he punched him right square in the center of the chest, and it didn't do anything.
Hmm. So is the heart on like the left side instead of the right side, or whatever?
Yeah, I think the heart was actually reversed on the body. It was something like that. But again, these punches are actually they almost go through the human body. But in this anime, if it's not hitting the pressure point, you're completely fine.
Yeah. The heart is, like, it's not exactly centered, because if it was, you couldn't really reverse it, because what's the reverse of the center? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I had to blow my nose there, so, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
And now that's on the recording.
Yeah.
You're going to use that for future promos.
Yeah, future promo of you sneezing.
And I think people will be like, oh, I guess they're marketing it to sick kids.
Yeah, just edit in an ad that's got like all of the worst moments of our podcast, like my bird screaming, my dog crying, you sneezing.
Yeah.
Just a disastrous promo.
The entirety of that interview episode.
Yeah.
That, I don't know how I can make that 45-minute interview into a 30-second promo, but I will sure try.
Yeah, well, the best things to take out of it are him asking about the alien planet and the shit with T.Y.
Regarding just whatever T.Y. said that was on the recording.
I don't remember what he said, but I'm sure it was awful.
It was something about a masturbation joke and, like, Josh is gay, and that's all I remember.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing he would say.
And they're like, the enemy of yesteryear podcast, we're loving and caring. Ken's able to defeat Sal there by hitting the wrong pressure points, supposedly. And then Sal there, but as soon as he defeats Sal there, the whole pyramid just collapses and disintegrates, and then all the kids are free. So, and that pretty much ends that.
Yeah, that's the end of the Souther stuff.
Yeah, the Souther part. And then also what came next was the battle between Toki and Rao, which we find out that Toki and Rao are actually biological brothers.
Yeah, the Toki and Rao thing, didn't they start out by saying that there's a star in the sky that only Toki can see because he's about to die or something like that?
Yeah, well, they mentioned like the star that's next to the North Star in the sky, and usually that's considered the Death Star. And if you see it, you will die within a year. But like in the second arc, that star was meant for Rey because he wound up dying, and but then also Mamiya sees it, and then of course, like, I don't think Toki's able to see it, or maybe he was, but then of course Mamiya is the only one that actually like lives.
Yeah, at least she lives through this part. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Does she actually die in the manga?
I think she does, yeah, but it's kind of near the end. And near the end, they kill a lot of people. Like, everyone has had a very manly death by that point, except for Ken and a few other people.
Oh, so this is like the final chapters in the manga, the stuff that wasn't ever animated, right?
Yeah, that's right. And the final chapters, I don't want to spoil it, but some major characters die.
But that's the stuff that he fights, like, Kaio with, right? Or which is, like, Rao's other brother?
Yeah, he does fight Kaio, and that arc is pretty badass. But after that, there's about 15 chapters or so that seem kind of weird and tacked on, like the last part of Macross. They're trying to wrap it all up, but he's, like, lost his memories, and Rin is trying to hook him up with Bat, or vice versa, I guess. He doesn't become gay. but yeah, it's kind of strange, the last arc. And the villain is not that cool, but because he has amnesia, he doesn't remember how to fight, so they had to put kind of a lame villain.
So then they had to teach him how to refight so he can fight?
Yeah, because he has to save like Bat, because Bat is like trying to kill himself so that Rin will fall in love with Ken instead of him, and it's kind of weird. Especially because there's not really much like romantic stuff between anyone in the rest of the manga. It's mostly just fighting, and so it's kind of weird they tack on this romance plot all of a sudden.
I do need to check out the I'm probably going to buy that final DVD set eventually, because I do want to see a Fist of the North Star too.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I know the animation looks just different, and like it looks like Ken's face is like they got a brick and just put a nose on it and some eyes.
That sounds
and
terrible.
Some hair. It is like completely different from like the animation of like the, you know, the first Hokuto no Ken.
Wow, I figured it was just a difference in name only, because it starts like immediately afterwards, doesn't it?
Well, I thought like the timing between like the first series and the second series was like 10 years or something, because then Lin and Bat grow up and they find Ken, don't they?
Oh, there is a time jump within the show. That's true.
Okay.
Yeah, after Rao dies, there's a time jump.
All right.
And the last 110 chapters or so are after the time jump, I think.
Okay. But yeah, with Toki and Rao, like apparently like in the TV show, and even when I watched the like those OVA side stories, like Toki Densu or whatever, or I think it's like they made like these OVAs, which is like a tie-in to the characters of the series.
Oh, like Densetsu or something like that.
Yeah,
some Japanese.
Yeah, something like that. I think it's Toki Hen, I think is what it was called. But like with his story, it was like it was pretty much retelling like the battle between Toki and Rao, and I had a cough. So, anyways, like Toki was like Rao always looked at Toki as the weaker one. And, like, you know, he kind of discouraged Toki from fighting. But apparently, like, Toki got mad at, I think, one of the guys that was picking on Rao, and Rao couldn't defend himself. Or I think, no, he was picking on Toki, and Toki put up a very good fight because he was watching Rao train with their master. And then the Masters was like, hey, do you want to learn, you know, this martial art with your brother? And Toki was like, yeah, sure. And then I think they got to the point where, like, you know, Rao and Toki, when they grew up, they were like, you know, we'll probably fight each other one day. Just, you know, don't hold anything back. And so anyways, they go back to their, like, with their home, their homestead or whatever. And they find, like, their master's grave. And then they, like, they confront each other. And, of course, like, Toki at this point has got, like, you know, nuclear AIDS or whatever. Because he's pretty much sick during this series. But only within this battle it degrades his health when he's fighting Rao. Because, like, he's actually able to hit a pressure point, which gives him, like, double the strength. And he, like, super bulks up to take on Rao, but it wasn't enough. Or I think Toki... No, it was like, yeah, Toki hit the final blow on Rao, and it was right. Everything was correct. But Rao was just like, if you only, like, you know, a millisecond deeper into me, you would have killed me, but you weren't strong enough. And, you know, again, like, you got, like, all these fist craters in your body, and, like, no normal human being could survive them. But in this anime, you can if you don't hit the right pressure point.
Yeah. The, you can tell that Rao doesn't really want to kill Toki, because Toki is, like, the only person he ever liked or something, you know? Like, Rao is generally pretty heartless, but Toki was his brother and all, so.
Yeah, Rao cries like manly, like the manliest of manly tears in this over Toki. And he's just kind of like doing this whole, like, you know, why did you have to fight me? You didn't have to fight me. And it was really, because, like, Fist of the North Star is a huge melodrama for men.
Yeah.
So they cry, it's for a very good reason.
Yeah,
and it's over, very, like, how normal men would cry over stuff.
They're very manly tears, yeah, every time they cry.
There is a good reason to cry. There's, like, yeah, and that's what makes the series so great, because, like, it's a mixture of, or you saw that write-up on Golden Anai where the guy who did the blog in the North Star,
uh-huh.
He did a write-up for, like, it pretty much his 1984 year for anime was all Hokuto no Ken, which I'm thinking, why else would it be anything different?
Yeah, exactly.
He pretty much wrote it like, you know, this is a melodrama where it balances out, like, you know, the fighting with actual, like, drama that, you know, hits guys. And, like, you know, you wonder why it's, you know, it stood up for 30 years and why it's, this series is so good.
Yeah, it's pure manly passion, you know.
I mean, I consider, like, the story to this more of an intellectual level from, like, watching a weekly WWF wrestling match or something.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, there's story arcs in wrestling. I guess if you consider them arcs. But there's, like, you know, there's always a character story and they change all the time. And this is no different. But this is more of a, on the set of, like, almost Shakespearean, you know, literature than, like... I guess it's better. It seems like it's much better told. I guess I can't go as far as Shakespeare.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like it more than Shakespeare. You know, at least you can relate
exactly,
to this.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, you know, who needs that guy?
Yeah, I mean, do people actually read, like, King Henry V in their free time or anything? No, but you're going to read this for the North Star because it's awesome.
Like, the only time people read Shakespeare is if they're doing school plays or their teacher makes them because it's English class in high school.
Yeah.
And you just gotta do it. Like, I did Midsummer Night's Dream in, like, my junior year of high school. But we did, like, a 45-minute condensed version of that play. The actual play is, like, 6 hours long or something.
Oh, man, I'm glad my high school was this crappy little Turkish high school in Texas that didn't have the budget to do a play. They just had us read the book in class, just read parts. It was much easier.
I can see how that's much easier. The play part was actually pretty cool. Like in high school, we had a decked out. We had a, like, you know, parents or guardians show up, and we did this play for, like, 2 nights, and they served, like, you know, pasta dinner and everything. It was, like, really decked out. My English teacher was awesome on that.
I don't think I could memorize Old English though. It's just too hard, you know.
I had one of the characters. I only had, like, 2 lines in the whole play.
That's true. There are people who get minor parts.
Yeah. Like, there was somebody who was in that play that only had 1 role, and he just stood in the background the entire time.
He didn't say a thing?
I don't think so.
There must have been, like, more people in your class than there were parts in the play, so they just put him there.
I think I might have been Tom. I think it's Tom Stout, the Tinker, or something.
The biggest part I ever did was just filling in one day as Fiddler on the Roof in 6th grade. because the other two fiddlers were sick. But even the fiddler doesn't say anything. He just stands up there and fiddles. If that's a fiddle sound, sure. Anyway, we got way off topic. What were we talking about? Toki versus Rao.
Yeah. It was really the storytelling narrative of Hokuto no Ken in general.
Yeah.
And then we got onto Shakespeare. But yeah, so then, but apparently this doesn't kill Toki. Like, I thought it did. But, like, only Toki, but after this battle, Toki's in a much weaker state, so he doesn't have much long to live anyways. And, so anyways, we get introduced to a new character called Ryuga.
Wait, has Toki died by the, as far as you've seen, or no?
Yeah, Toki died, like, pretty much Toki's death is what ended the third arc.
So after the Ryuga. After Ryuga.
Yeah, like, he, what happens is, like, he meets up with Ryuga. I do want to say, like, before this happens, like, apparently, like, this, the, you know, because in the post-apocalypse, people are very bored. And they come up with, like, these, they came up with, like, an Olympic Games thing, which, like, they grab, like, the prisoners, and, like, one of the biggest dudes, like, his goal was to see how, like, how far he can throw somebody. What's that Olympic sport where, like, they hold the bowling ball next to their head, and they have to turn around in order to, like, joust it or something?
I have no clue. I'm just thinking of Thunderdrome, because you mentioned games post-apocalypse, so I was thinking of Mad Max. Because how can they compete with that, you know? But
yeah,
I guess they do have a cool...
Well, this did come out before Thunderdome, but I think if Thunderdome came out before Fist of the North Star, that would totally be in this.
Yeah.
Although they did have cages set up when, like, in the first arc when Ken had to fight, like, all of, like, King's Men or Shen's Men. Like, they had the guys with the huge, like, Wolverine claws, and they would try to go after Ken and everything, and of course he would use a pressure point on them, and, you know, they would eventually blow up and die, but it was like in a cage match kind of thing.
Yeah.
But everything from the show borrows from, like, anything guys like, pretty much, which I'm pretty, so pretty much back then the Wrestling League had cage matches. Which might have been just the Japanese Wrestling League, because I'm not sure if the WWF had it at that time.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know too much about WWF history in the 80s, other than just like some of the people that were in it.
That's when Hulk Hogan was in it.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, the Sheik guy, Sergeant Slaughter.
Is it called the Iron Sheik or something? Or?
Iron Sheik, that's it, yeah. Randy Savage...
Macho Man, didn't he just die like a year or two ago?
Yeah, he died a couple years ago, actually. I'm trying to... Yeah, there's a few others. Like, it was actually... I know it was before Shawn Michaels hit the scene. And I just can't think of the names right now.
I've always liked, wrestling manga and anime. Like, I mentioned Kinnikuman the other day and Ultimate Muscle, but I've never really seen much of live-action wrestling.
Oh, we got to review Wannabes, which is basically an anime about female wrestling. That's starts out pretty good, and that ending is just stupid. But
how long is it?
It's an OVA. It's like I think there's like two of them, but I've only seen the first one.
Oh, could you stream it?
I can one day. Yeah,
we'll do that eventually. But we sure have a lot of stuff planned. Like we've got the upcoming Takahata month, for example. Or Takahashi, I think it was. Not Takahata.
I'm sure we can fit that in there sometime. Like, we might do our Takahashi versus...
Tomino
month. Or, like, maybe a summer or something.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've only got, three or four weeks left of school. And then it's summer for me, so...
I'm pretty sure... Yeah, I'm enrolling during the summer, so I'll have, like, a couple weeks off before I start back.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I'm shooting to get my associates by August. That's what I'm working towards.
So you're going to graduate during summer school?
Yeah, because I did summer school last year, so I got to get signed up early registration starts when I get back to school next week.
Yeah.
And I've still got to file for a student loan in the summer, so. We were talking about wrestling, and... Oh, yeah, Ryuga, okay. I think, yeah, people who listen to this, I don't know how like off topic we get a lot of times, but
there's usually like at least two or three branches of off topic that we get from the main topic
for like 10, like 5-10 minute periods of time. So I can't remember the last time we were on topic on something.
Like the whole episode?
Yeah.
It might never have happened. I mean,
that's true. I mean, like with Gundam X, we got that done in like 30 minutes, and then we spent an hour talking about random Gundam stuff, so.
Yeah, that's true. We stayed on topic for a while on Gundam Unicorn also, but then after a while, VQ came on and we got talking about other stuff.
Well, we were on topic for a while with VQ, and then we went. Anyways, that episode will come out next week as of this recording, which this recording will probably come out the end of this month. So
okay. And yeah, another thing that our listeners can look forward to is that we're eventually going to review Gundam The Origin, the new manga edition from Vertical.
Yeah, I'm at section 7 right now of that manga.
How many are in? I haven't read hardly any of it, actually.
Yeah. There's like 8 sections in it.
Oh, okay.
So I've blown through a good portion of it so far. But anyways, so back on topic. So like Ryuga's this other guy, like he's not really like a South Star general. But he's kind of like, he's like this, his own little star, and he has his own like martial arts technique, and it just might be him that knows it. But he's like pretty much compared to knowing like it's his moves are kind of like sort of South Star or from the school of the South Star. And but he's able to meet up with Ken, and of course like he's trying to get Ken to fight him, and then Ken keeps refusing. Oh, but I was talking about the Olympic thing. Anyways, so like Ken shows up in this town, and these people are like, you know, they're like, it's anyways, the sport regarding like you throwing a huge bowling ball as far as you can go, or like a cannonball or something. And one of them was like, Ken shows up and the big dudes is like, oh, what are you going to do? And then Ken's just like, he's pretty much like calling him out as a pool person playing pool would, like, you know, if they're calling out a shot, but he's calling him out that you're going to die and explode on that building over there. And the guy's like, that one over there. And he has to like put his hand over his eyes and look at it. And then Ken like karate chops him like halfway across the town into the building, and the guy explodes. And then one of the other dudes is just like, wow, he flew really far. And then Ken just punches him and explodes.
Ken's got great aim, like Golgo 13, you know?
Yeah, that he does. Oh, I thought I muted my mic there for a sec. Yeah, so anyways, and then Ryuga shows up. And then they have like this whole turnabout. Well, apparently Ryuga's working with Rao, and they're taking over, you know, sections of the land that they're in. And that, of course, Ryuga's only there to like a certain point. And I think like if he can kill Ken, then he's like, oh, I can definitely take on Rao. And then of course, Ryuga's able to capture Toki and put him in like his own fortress, which Ken has to go over there and rescue him. One of the things I found out interesting was like when Ken goes to the castle wall to get Toki out, one of the guards is sticking his ear next to the castle wall, and Ken punches the block out of place. And then you just see the guy's it's like a freaking Tex Avery cartoon character, the guy's face, because it's so warped and out of proportion, because he's in complete shock with his eyeball sticking out of his head. And like his tongue completely out, but it's like in a zigzag, but it's like mashed up against the cylinder block as it's coming towards the screen. That's something that has to be made into a GIF eventually.
You know my Skype picture, right?
Yeah.
That's from Fist of the North Star. That's one of those really deformed faces after Ken punches somebody. I don't know if it's the same one or if it's a different one, because there are a lot of great ones like that.
Well, this one, it's just like an animation trip. Ken's able to hit the cylinder block hard enough to decapitate this guy's head, but the guy has an expression on his face from like a shocked look from a Tex Avery cartoon,
yeah,
which is great. And then of course Ken goes in there and wreaks havoc, and then he gets up to Ryuga, and then, you know, obviously defeats him. He beats Ryuga pretty bad, and then Ryuga has like his final line and dies. And he's able to say, you know, get to Toki, but of course Toki's dying as well. So then Toki kind of just dies in his arms. And then, and that's pretty much how the third arc ends.
Yep.
Unless you guys had something to add to it.
I think you covered most of it. I don't know. I mean, you haven't seen the Ken versus Rao yet, right?
That's much later in the fourth arc. Like, I haven't even started that one yet.
You haven't started the fourth arc yet? Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
Josh, you've been really quiet. What do you have your thoughts on?
I have not really seen much of the third arc, so I can't really comment much on this.
How far did you get?
Maybe about 5 episodes in.
Oh,
I've been really busy lately. So
just the pyramid stuff?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I guess since you're taking a semester off, you'll have time to watch more Fist of the North Star.
Yep.
I'm going to try to shoot...
Hopefully I can get a job during that time so I'm not just sitting on my ass all day, but yeah.
Yeah, hopefully you don't have to end up like NIV or CG.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's 7:30 at night. Time to go back to sleep.
CG sleeps?
I thought you said that's what he did all the time.
I don't know. He stays up for 5 days in a row subbing Monsuno is what Josh told me.
Yes, he actually did that.
I thought he was like a cat that requires like 26 hours a day of sleep or something.
Maybe that's how long he sleeps when he finally does crash after a week of nonstop fan subbing.
He crashes into a slumber just like CWC.
Yeah, exactly. The man in the pickle suit did it again. I'm going to crash into slumber.
Oh, I was going to talk about that game I've been playing, Hotline Miami. I can talk about that for a few minutes. So I apparently found out about this game from the recent Mega 64 video where they did one of their live action skits outside, which was like this game has a story, I guess. I didn't really pay attention to it. It's not like the story's in your face, it's there, but it's not that important. Let me see here. All right. Yeah, so pretty much it's like a top-down view game, kind of like the old Grand Theft Auto stuff. And these two guys were actually able to work on this like through Game Maker, which is really astounding. And I've messed with Game Maker a few times. and pretty much like it's you getting your character, which there's really not much of a name to him, but they called him like the Jacket. He's got like one of those like Letterman or Varsity jackets on. And you basically go into, like, buildings and apartments or whatever, and you're basically killing the mob, like, you know, each mission. And it pretty much starts out with, like, you had to, like, you know, kind of work the game, and then you get your first call, and you drive out to this, you know, this or, like, a hotel or something, and you basically have to beat up a bunch of guys, and you take their weapons, and you're pretty much – it's a creative game regarding, like, how you can throw a weapon – and knock someone out, and then of course run up and, like, you know, beat the crap out of them for the other guy's weapon. It's very creative in how you do this, but like my way is just always like in defense mode, which like I'll get a gun, and you know, I could always — I've done this a few times where like you know, if the people hear the gunshots, they'll run to your area and you can just kind of cap them off as they're coming through the door. But sometimes when you run out of ammo, you don't realize it and they'll kind of cap you, because you die a lot in this game, like all the time. And
you have a real limited health or something.
Well, it's like one shot, one kill for you.
Wow!
Like there's no — you don't get a health bar.
That's pretty intense.
It's a super fun, intense game. And but like one of the things I did was like if you have there was a point where like I had like 5 mob guys in the in like the same room, and like I kept — and I was out of bullets in there, but they were around me, so they couldn't really shoot me. So I just used like my weapon throw and grab command, and they just like fell back. And then like you can pretty much pick up another weapon and wait till they get up and shoot them, or like, you know, if they're on the ground, you can hit like on the computer it's the space bar to grab them, or like if you can use your Xbox controller and it's the A button, and you can basically much like bash their brains against the wall, or like you can pretty much if they're leaning against the wall, you can grab them and kick them, and like, or if they're on the ground, you basically like smash them against the ground until they're like, you know, their head explodes.
Speaking of Xbox, never mind, I'm not going to interrupt. I was just going to mention that Josh and I recently got Shenmue 2 on Xbox.
Oh, you can mention that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, just that we might be reviewing that eventually because we did Shenmue 1 already. And you can look forward to me mispronouncing it as Shenmue probably again.
I still got to beat the second game. Like, we can actually do... Yeah, instead of us doing, like, a general discussion about it, we can actually do an actual review of Shenmue 2.
Yeah. I still have to finish the first one, actually.
Yeah. I guess that'll come down eventually in time. I thought about Spring Break. I was just like, oh, I guess I could play Shenmue 2 some more, but then I just haven't gotten around to it because I've been playing Hotline Miami.
Yeah. Get back to that, I guess.
Yeah. Whenever I hit this mute button, sometimes I click it again and it just doesn't unmute when I want it to.
Really? I heard you, like, clearing your throat, so I think it unmuted.
Oh. Well, I cleared my throat now, but, like, before then I had a cough, so I put it on mute. Oh. But, like, when I go to click it, like, I start talking, I'm like, oh, wait, I'm still on mute, and I have to unmute it.
Twice? Hmm.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I don't know. Skype. But in this game... Yeah, you have ways. Or another cool thing about this game is you wear different masks, and they're animal masks. Like, they're pretty much Halloween costumes, and you get those as unlocks whenever you beat a level. And they have different, I guess, like, abilities to them. Like, one of them is, like, if you wear the rabbit mask, you can walk a lot faster. And then, of course,
so it's like the bunny hood from Zelda, where you put it on and you walk faster.
Yeah, something like that. And then also, like, there's a tiger mask that you can wear, which you basically, if you punch enemies, they die instantly. And, like, if you punch enemies or use melee weapons on enemies, like, there's silent kills, so then, like, other enemies, like, nearby can't really hear it compared to shotguns. I think one of the masks actually is, like, a unicorn head, and if you wear that, like, all gunshots are muffled. So, like, you can basically, you don't have to worry about guys running in on you. So you can actually sneak behind him with, like, an assault weapon and, like, cap him or something. Which is pretty interesting. And, of course, like, in the game, there's, like, a committee of, like, these other people that wear a mask around their head and, like, talk to you about, like, oh, what are you killing for? Like, what's your purpose? And then they mention how, like, three things will happen. Like, apparently you get a girl from, like a mob's hotel room or something. And, like, I thought I could try to, like... Because she was just kind of like, whenever you complete a mission and go back to your room, she's just kind of like either in the tub or in the shower or watching TV or in bed. And I'm like, can I have sex with her? And apparently I couldn't. I was just like, well, this sucks, but okay. Because I was just like, oh, crap, I'm trying to get in the bathroom so I can see her naked. But apparently that didn't work. And I'm like, whatever, I'll just continue the game. But I guess it's implied that I probably would have had sex with her already.
I wonder why it didn't work.
I guess I just didn't program into the game or something.
Yeah.
But they get to a point of the game, like, you get double, or, like, they find out who you are, and, like, your car gets trashed. Like, on your car, like, you want to go to complete the last part of the game, you have, like, one of your windows smashed out, and, like, somebody wrote whore on your hood. But you figured, oh, man, this car isn't going to work, so then I drive, get into it, and it still runs, and I'm like, oh, great. But there's really no driving in this game. It's just kind of like you, like, driving to one point or the other. There's nothing in between to get there. Because the game's not worried about driving mechanics or anything. when you complete a mission, like, you go to different areas, like bars or something. One of them was a VHS rental place because this game is completely 80s. Like, even the soundtrack is 80s regarding, like, these guys got, like, independent, like, people that do, like, techno music, 80s music, because apparently that's a cool thing now, and that's kind of what I mostly listen to anyways.
Wow.
And, like, that whole soundtrack is comprised of that, and it is done really well.
Would they go to those relics known as Blockbuster? Was that the 80s store?
It was like it's like called, like, VHS rental or something.
Oh, okay.
You walk in, and, like, you talk to the guy behind the counter, and he's just like, oh, yeah, don't worry, it's on the house, you can get that tape, and you have to go and get a tape, and then you go back to your apartment, like, well, what was the point of that? But I'm like, whatever. I guess this is something fun to do after I kill, like, 30 mob boss people in a level.
That's what people think in real life about video stores now, too. What's the point of going?
Yeah, I think for me, like, what's the point of me getting this for free? But it's like, I'm not even watching the tape. Like, there's not even part of the game, but I'm like, oh, whatever.
Hmm.
I need to pop another Halls in my mouth.
The AVGN did a whole video a few months ago about video stores and like his various memories from there and stuff like that.
I'll have to see that.
He's got his whole, he's got a whole room in his house that's like, the tapes are organized like they would be in a video store. Like they have certain actors like on certain, in display on like a certain way, like the way a video store would have like their custom picks and stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I really envy his kid, you know, because he's about to have a kid from his wife, and, you know, that kid's going to have a great childhood with all those video games he's got and all the movies and everything, you know.
Yeah.
He's got, like, every NES and SNES game ever made, you know, every Genesis game ever made.
Yeah, it kind of benefits to, like, it's like, you know, James is like, I had a really awesome childhood, and I want to give the same to my kid that I'll have eventually.
Yeah.
And there's not, like, too many nerds out there that have, I guess, like, it all really depends, but, like.
Not many, you know, nerds people, that have kids.
Yeah, I mean, they're not even married. I can't even get the girl to get knocked up to have a kid with, but yeah, it seems like James is doing pretty good so far regarding, like, he's. Has someone who's he's found that's really cool with his hobby and everything, and I would like these offspring is going to enjoy that.
Yeah, he's got a great job too. You know, I mean, he's not going to be like at work 9 to 5. You know, he's going to be able to give the kid a lot of attention.
Yeah,
he does it all like, from his house mostly.
Isn't AVGN like pretty much like his only job now? I thought he did something else.
He used to, I think, but not anymore. He is mainly working on the movie these days. A lot of the site stuff is done by Mike these days, but he still does, like, for example, there was a new board games that came out a couple days ago where he's playing, I don't remember what it's called, but it's some game that involves a phone, and he shot it like a horror movie where, like, the phone is, like, a killer and stuff.
Oh, so, nice. I got to see that.
It's pretty intense, really, for one of his videos. It's like the Mr. Bucket one, if you've seen that.
Oh, yeah, where Mr. Bucket pretty much molests slash rapes James Ralph.
Yeah. Mr. Bucket actually makes a cameo in this one, too. It's pretty great.
Oh, that's nice. But anyways, like, this game has a way for, like, if you were trying to complete a level, like, I could spend, like, about an hour, depending on how hard a level is, because, like, enemies react a certain way. Like, I remember spending, like, so much time on one level, and, like, I had to basically map out everything of what I had to do in order to get past it. Because I had to, like, it took me, like, 45 minutes to actually figure out, like, okay, to finally have something down where I at least can get out of this one tight corner. Because, like, you knock, like, the way it was set up where, like, you knock a guard out, and, like, if you open the door, like, also doors in this can knock people out. And, so anyways, you knock out the guy in front of you, but if you knock someone out, they get up after a few seconds. And if you kept on walking, there's a room that's completely windowed, and there's a guy with a machine gun in there. So if you walk in his line of sight, he's going to see you, and you shoot you, and you're dead. So what I had to do is I pretty much had to have enough ammo to knock the guy through the door, get to the window part, shoot the guy in there, run back in my room, and then wait for like 10 people to run up to me as I'm just capping them. And hope to God I didn't run out of ammo. So then finally, if I get past that part, I had to basically make my way around to another area, which was one more guy left. And I had, like, he was in a windowed area, so I had to quickly get in there, shoot him, and then duck out of the way. Because if I was too slow, he would have caught me, and I'm like, I got to restart this again for, like, the 30th time.
Yeah, that would have sucked to have to do it again.
I'm actually at the last boss of this game, and here's how it works. Like, again, this is completely 80s, but so the boss, like, you basically have, like, three guys in this one room. Like, you, the guy in the middle has a shotgun, and you use the shotgun for, like, these bigger, like, bodyguard brute dudes that come out. It's like you have to run in there, knock the guy, or kill the guy, like, depending on what mask you have. You basically, if you're not having the mask, the tiger mask, where you can, like, you know, every punch is a death punch. You basically knock the guy out and grab the shotgun. And you have to make your shots count because the guy who has a shotgun is like a two – it has like two shots in there. It's a double barrel or something. And So then one of the big brutes will come out, and you have to, like, shoot him, and he dies, which causes the other brute to come out, and you got to shoot him, and he dies. And if the guy's still alive, you got to run over to him, knock him out, and kill him. And then you make your way up to the boss's room, and the boss has, like, two – he's got two, like, cheetahs as his pets, like, in the front of, like, in front of his desk. Like, you know, they're just there. And then, of course, he has, like, a dialogue with you. He's like, oh, you're not going to escape from this. And this cheetah's come after you if they happen to see you. So you have to run over and grab, like, a trophy from the trophy case. And then hopefully you can basically be able to knock both cats out and kill them with, like – because it takes them, like, two hits.
I like how ever since Blofeld, all villains have to have cats, you know?
Yeah. It's so Scarface-ish, like, with this. It's just, like, that's pretty cool that you have two cheetah pets as your, like, guard cats. But, so anyways, if you kill them, which my tactic was, like, to get around this water fountain that's on the, like, right-hand side. And then I kind of peek out and have one of them run towards me. If they run towards me close enough, I'll whack them until they die and then go for the second one. But then once that happens, he's got a samurai girl. Like, he's got a ninja girl as another bodyguard that just stands there and watches watches you kill his two cats, and he'll sick her on you. But if she gets too close, she'll use her katana and slice you. So then you got to start over. So then you pretty much have to throw the trophy at the right time to knock her out. Then you got to run over there and then pretty much bash her head in twice. And then after that's over, the boss will give you a dialogue, and he pulls out two machine guns. So then you have to grab one of the knife from her and try to throw it at him before you get killed by a machine gun, which I have not gotten past that part yet.
How far into the game do you think that is?
It's the last level, so depending on how much time you spend on this, I would say it took me about maybe 8-9 hours to get to this point.
So it's like a 10-hour game overall?
About that, yeah. But it's the final stage, so it's the final boss, and I just got to figure out a way to get past him. But it's just, like, it's so crazy in how, like, I have to, like, basically map – I have to map everything out of how I'm going to do this, and it's going to take, like, 50 times – like, over 50 tries to get it right. But then, like, if you beat something, it's so rewarding that you get – like, you finally got past that point. So, like, for me to actually beat this game is going to be, like, the biggest reward I've had in a video game for a long time. Because it was that hard, and there's no difficulty setting on this anyways, so...
Wow, so there's just one difficulty.
Yeah. It's pretty much like a puzzle game, too, but then there's also... Which, speaking of puzzle games, you're supposed to collect puzzles and figure out, like, the actual hidden story behind this game. And, which I haven't only gotten one puzzle piece, because I haven't seen the others.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I just said, oh.
Oh.
Just to kill the silence, you know, so Toon Radio doesn't kick us off if they ever come back.
Yeah, a keyword is if.
Yeah, that's not very certain.
Even if they do come back, this episode probably won't air for another year or two at this rate.
It'll probably be 2014 or 2015, you're right.
Yes.
But apparently there's three endings to this. I think there's just two endings regarding, like, I think it's like if you... get all the puzzle pieces and you solve it, you get a secret ending. And then, let me see. And there's a standard ending to this also, which is regarding, it says on Wikipedia, the biker confronts the janitor. Apparently you get a new character after you beat it or something.
So you can go back and play it through with a different character.
Maybe just the last part of it. I don't know. I haven't gotten that far yet, but,
oh,
this game is, but I will say, like, regarding everything I've stated, like, this game is super fun. And it's just regarding just kind of mapping your way out, and, like, it's kind of pretty much like a puzzle, like a strategy game regarding, like, what I need to do next to get, you know, everything happens for a certain way, so then I have to figure out, like, the right way to do it. But then also, like, when they showed trailers for this game, like, they had somebody just running through and whacking everybody. I'm like, I cannot do that. There's no way. That would just end terribly for me. And so that's Hotline Miami, and you can get it off GOG Games, or it's available for Windows and Steam. It's like $10. I of course found a cheaper means to get it, But it's definitely worth it, and I think it's supposed to come out for the PS3 sometime this summer or fall. And if it does, like, definitely check it out. And I think that's it for this episode, and that's what I have to say about Hotline Miami.
Okay. So I guess we're going to do closing remarks now, huh?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, well, mine's going to be... someone sent this to Love That Goku. Dear Christian, I'm reading The Catcher in the Rye, and I read this sentence... if it's one thing I hate, it's the movies. Don't ever mention them to me. And I thought that this would be a fun thing to do. Replace lines with DBZ stuff. If it's one thing I hate, it's Yajirobe. Don't mention him to me. And I just wish that he was not going to prison, because he would probably have a bunch of great responses to this. But
I thought he's going to like a boys' home or something, like a foster home.
Oh, you're right. It is. It's a troubled boys' home.
It's his brother that's going to prison.
That's right. His brother is going to prison, and he's going to the troubled boys' school / troubled boys' home. He's called it both. So who knows what it is? But he can only tweet on the weekends from now on, is what he says. So hopefully he comes back tomorrow with his first experiences. Since he's there today. He said, I'm very excited to start Troubled Boys Home. I am looking forward to meeting young warriors who refuse to be bullied by the law. And he has law in quotation marks, of course. And for anyone who hasn't been following Love That Goku and who only gets their news about him from us, the reason he's going to the Troubled Boys Home is because he... tried to steal Raj's speedboat so that he could go to Japan to see Battle of Gods. And the police stopped him, and he said, okay, fine, take me to jail. I've always wanted to go there anyway. Because he thinks it's a great place to train, so he let them take him to jail.
I wish he saw Rikkyo, because that would be great, because it'd be like, oh, prison's just like Rikkyo, and I'll be Rikkyo, the strongest person ever in prison.
But he hates all anime except for DBC.
Well, technically it's an anime, but it's a live-action movie, and it's probably one of the best live-action movies I've ever seen, based on a manga.
Yeah, well, he stole Roger's speedboat, and then he went to jail, and then he came out, and Uncle Francis and the cops agreed to send him to a troubled boys' school. And his reaction to this was to throw away Uncle Francis's Quantum Leap DVDs, and...
Which he did anyways, right?
Yeah, he did throw those away, but I guess he told Francis they were in the trash, so Francis probably just took them back out. But after that, he also burned some of the siding of Raj's house, Raj being his next-door neighbor. Then the house burned down, and he's playing innocent and acting like he doesn't know why it happened, but he's posted stuff like, I guess it was karma for not giving me the speedboat, and so it's obvious that he did it. But he's letting Antone take the fall, because Antone has a history of violence, and the police found a bloody crossbow in his car, and a bag of teeth in his room, and a bag of hair, and some bones.
So, holy crap.
So Antone has been, like, desecrating graves or something, and, like, stealing corpses, so... they've decided Antone is more disturbed than Christian, even, and Antone is now in jail. And that's what happened with Love That Goku. I just
like how he was tweeting, like, the Battle of the Gods movie is out. I need to get to Japan. Guys, where's Japan? How do I get there? He's like, what? There's an ocean in the way? I'll just walk there. Wait, who has a car? Can someone drive me there? Okay, apparently there's an ocean. They can't drive cars through the ocean. I need a boat. Anyone's got a boat?
Yeah, I just like,
wait,
love
I'll
it.
Just use Raj's boat. And then apparently he made it sound like he carried the boat all the way to the shore before the cops actually stopped him.
Yeah, he said they
like,
arrested –
it was like 6 hours – it was like 12 hours later or 17 hours later. Like the cops finally stopped me and asked me why I'm carrying a boat or something.
Yeah, he said something like the cops stopped me on account of I was carrying Raj's boat to the ocean. And it was like 11 hours or more after his initial tweet saying goodbye,
yeah,
I'll tell you how the movie was. That was my closing remark. Very long-winded, but...
that was worth it.
Yeah, people need to know about Love That Goku. It's so great. What about you, Dustin?
I guess in response to Lord Dalek's tweets about top 10... the LucasArts games, Zombies Ate My Neighbors should be number one.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like, oh, I responded to him and just like, why no love for Zombies Ate My Neighbors? He's like, oh, I was a PC kid growing up. And I'm like, you freaking elitist. I'm like, you need to play that game. He's like, all right, well, I'll give it a number 11. I'm like, you're just a pansy, Lord Dalek.
R.I.P. LucasArts.
Yeah. Yeah, R.I.P. LucasArts. Roger Ebert died too, so R.I.P. him.
Yeah.
I didn't think that guy was still alive. Like, I didn't even know. I forgot Siskel died, like, years ago.
Yeah, Siskel died at least, like, 15 years ago. It was in the 90s.
Yeah, that was it. And apparently they showed, like, a picture of, like, Roger's, like, he had jaw cancer or something, and, like, he had no jaw, so he had, like, a weird-looking face and talked through a machine. It's just, like, that's – didn't really need to see that.
Oh, yeah, that's why he had to stop doing his show as much. And he had, like, other people do the last few years of it, like Ben Mankiewicz and Ben Lyons and Christy Lemire, I think.
Did he do, like, written stuff?
They did have, like, one segment on each episode of his reviews, and it sounded like I think he was actually reading it, but it was only, like, 3 minutes each. And, yeah, he still had a regular column for the Chicago Sun Tribune, and he has RogerEbert.com. Or had, I guess. So he was still doing movie reviews all the time. Like, for example, he gave Human Centipede a 0-star rating.
I saw that during Halloween.
Is it as bad as I've heard? Out.
What?
Is it as bad as I've heard?
What did you hear about it?
That it's, like, the worst movie ever and that it's totally disgusting?
Disgusting, yes. Worst movie ever? I wouldn't say so.
Not as bad as the Turn A compilations, huh?
No, not as bad as those. Because at least with Turn, like, with Human Centipede, like, it told a story and everything was in everything made sense through time regarding one event to the next, not just skipping over crap.
Yeah, there was no cutout stuff.
I wonder if Egbert ever saw G-Savior.
Was that in theaters? Or just on DVD?
DVD, as far as I'm concerned. Well, they made a Human Centipede 2, which is on Netflix, I think, still. And I have still not seen that yet.
Oh.
Or do I want to?
Probably not. Once is probably enough.
I don't know. So, yeah, that's my thing. So... R.I.P. LucasArts. Hopefully we'll get a port of, like, Ghoul Patrol and Zombies Ate My Neighbors out someday. So I can finally play Ghoul Patrol, which is, like, the sole successor of Zombies Ate My Neighbors. From what I hear. Josh, go ahead.
Alright, so I guess I'll read off a few Love That Goku tweets. Many people are arguing with me, what I said earlier, Goku was a good dad. I will not allow Twitter users to speak ill of Goku's parenting. Goku was an excellent father. If you disagree, then let's say you save the planet several times over whilst raising a young warrior, you shit. If you wish to disparage the parenting skills of Goku, I'd like to see you raise a son who grows up to defeat Cell.
I love those. There was another one about that. He said, Dragon Ball Z sets a great example for fatherly excellence. Goku is not only a fierce warrior, but he raised one as well. Be a good dad. And then right before that, he said, I grew up with poor male role models. My dad went to jail for coupon fraud, and Uncle Francis is shit. I was forced to set my own example.
What is coupon fraud?
He, like, made fake coupons to get discounts. That happens. Like, my dad saw someone who gave a fake coupon one time at a grocery store. It's just people trying to be cheap and save a buck and hope they don't actually check if the coupons are real. It's like the most white trash activity possible.
I know that I've tried, like, reprinting the same coupon. If I've used it once before, and that used to work because, like, GameStop would never check stuff, but now they do.
It's because of you.
All right, fine, blame me.
Oh, I have another tweet. Last night I had a dream. North Korea launched a missile at United States, and I caught it and threw it back. I suspect it may be a premonition.
That one is great. I'm going to read the ones about the anime store, too. There is a new anime store opening in my town soon, which means soon I will be closing an anime store in my town. Here's an idea. How about someone opens an anime store, but it's just Dragon Ball Z? I will protest the opening of the anime store this weekend with nonviolence. I shall distract foot traffic with a martial arts demonstration. In several ways, it is accurate to say my whole life is a martial arts demonstration. I say all anime is very bad, and everyone tells me DBZ is anime. DBZ is the exception that proves the rules. I just love that guy. He has a point. I mean, those Arkansas anime stores that had those YouTube videos. We got them animes here. Come on down and buy some. He's got that, like, biker jacket.
Was that the one where the guy's like, "Oh, we're still rolling?"
Yeah. You say, "You catching these?" Or something like that.
Yeah. Hopefully that's just an online ad. And I don't know if that store is still open, but that was. But thank God, Colony Drop shared that on Twitter.
Yeah,
that's where I got it from. And because Colony Drop's response was like, "Tell me this is a joke, please. Tell me this is a joke. This cannot be real."
And they had another one too with a bunch of fat cosplayers.
Well, the one girl in the sunglasses looked pretty cute. She wasn't fat. And I think there was like this other girl that bought an Initial D manga, and I'm like, that might be my potential waifu one day.
You're gonna
I think that's what I said on Twitter. In response to Colony Drop posting that up.
They didn't Vertical didn't retweet my Gundam the Origin tweet. I guess it's because I didn't put an at Vertical Ed in there.
Yeah, you gotta because if you add their name, they're gonna retweet it, so
I did the Bring Back Gundam hashtag because I thought that would work, but it didn't.
I don't know if like whoever started that, but that was trending on that, so
I think the reason it didn't get retweeted is because it happened so long after you and Josh got it, because I only got it a couple days ago.
Well, it was. I think they would still respond anyways, because they responded to, like, everyone, and, like, whoever posted the picture, they spent, like, all day, like, just putting stuff on their Tumblr page.
Yeah. That's a pretty exhaustive job to post on a Tumblr all day, as I've learned from seeing the responses of the Toonami Tumblr to people. They get real fed up with people who ask the same question over and over, you know, like, about DBZ and stuff. I mean,
well, they got that whole debate about like if they're going to start over on One Piece or like where they left off. Which,
oh god, yeah, that's right.
I don't really think I should care about it because like if I wanted to watch One Piece, I want to start from the beginning because that's me. But then they got these diehards that are like they need to start at the fourth area, but it would make more sense to restart it for people like me who haven't seen it yet.
I know, right? That's what I think too. I think that these One Piece diehards are very selfish. They just want it to start at their favorite part, and so they just ignore the potential to making One Piece bigger in America and making it more popular by trying to get new fans starting.
But the thing on that is, like, even if they aired the way they wanted to, they're going to find something wrong with the dubbing or the editing or whatever.
Yeah, so, well, they're not going to air
There's no pleasing them. Those are those kind of people that are whining are the ones you cannot please.
They're not going to air the 4Kids stuff, but people complained about the Funimation one, too, because for a while it used Zolo instead of Zoro, which is, like, the most spoiled anime thing to complain about. You know, R and L are the same in Japan, so what's it matter?
Yeah, and, like, V and B are the same.
Yeah, that's why you get things like Quattro Vagina instead of Quattro Vagina, you know?
Yeah. It's, yeah, weeboos. Okay.
We shouldn't risk pissing off our fan base anymore by insulting anime fans. We should just end it here. Tune in next time.
Oh, I got plenty to say. All right, anyways, go ahead and end it. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Tune in next time for Gundam the Origin, probably, on Toon Radio, if we're still on Toon Radio, or just download it.
Toon Radio, try it.
Toon Radio Net. We'll be right back.
In the universal century year 0079, humanity has moved to the stars. A war wages on against the forces of Zeon, and the Earth Federation's only hope for victory lies in a boy named Amuro Ray and his mobile suit prototype, the Gundam.
Wait a minute. Stop the music! Didn't we do this already? Really? Alright, put on some more fitting music then. The Legend of the One-Year War, retold and reimagined, next time on the Anime of Yesteryear podcast, Mobile Suit Gundam, The Origin. Who will survive?
Omae wa mou shindeiru.